I think the last time we were talking with our next guest was when he was one of our guests during the abortion referendum 3 years ago. Well-known businessman and former election candidate Declan Ganley, who has taken the state to the High Court over the ban on people attending church services. The case is ongoing. Mr. Ganley maintaining the ban on public worship under level 5 coronavirus restrictions is way too excessive and unnecessary. And his legal team have argued that going to mass is now considered by the state as a criminal offence, and that preventing people from attending mass breaches their right to the free practice of religion. And we've had numerous people on the show in relation to this, particularly in recent weeks. As I say, the case is ongoing. It's been adjourned until the 27th of April. Declan Ganley, good morning to you.
Good morning, Noel.
You really feel that strongly about it, that you would take a court case about this?
Well, yes, it's a breach of the Irish Constitution and of the ECHR as well, and of European law under Article 9 of the ECHR. The fact is that dioceses throughout Ireland had put in very rigorous COVID mitigation protocols to protect their people that were attending their churches, people that experience them will know that, you know, very strict social distancing, mask wearing, sanitization, traffic, one-way pedestrian traffic plans, and stewards that were especially trained for the purpose, and the flat outright and reduced numbers, of course, in churches, and the flat ban was excessive. It's unnecessary. It's disproportionate. And other jurisdictions where this happened and where court challenges were taken generally ruled that they were excessive, were disproportionate, and were a breach of religious freedom and constitutional rights.
But the interests are in the restrictions in place, the regulations in place, are the interests of your safety and well-being and all those who attend church services on a weekly basis.
No, I don't believe they are. I believe they're excessive, and the science does not bear out. I mean, rhetorically, it sounds good to say that, but it's not scientifically factual. If you look at the United States, there's a report done there that looked at 1 million Catholic masses that were held after restrictions were relaxed in the U.S., and the number of incidences of COVID spread traceable to any one of those was exactly zero. And they know that there were multiple cases, as there would be in that many masses, of asymptomatic people with COVID that were at those masses. But because of the social distancing, the mask wearing, the sanitization, the careful management and COVID mitigation protocols that were in place, there was no spread. If you act irresponsibly, if you're all going to sort of be joining hands and, you know, you've got 1,000 people crammed into a small church, of course there's going to be risk, but that's not how these things are being planned. It's not how they're being done. These places of worship were acting responsibly, as anybody that knows and went to them will understand. And you know, people sometimes point to and say, well, there may have been a funeral somewhere where there was spread. Mm. But these are social events where people are gathering in houses and whatnot and doing things perhaps that they shouldn't be doing before or afterwards. But the spread's not happening in the churches. For a normal parish mass or service that is implementing these COVID mitigation protocols, the risks are manageable. It was being done very well. And a flat ban is not just excessive. It's also a really blatant breach of the Constitution. Okay. The Irish Constitution upholds the right to public worship. It's actually written into our Constitution, and this ban breaches that.
Okay, but you can worship at home still. You can access Mass and church services online. You can tune into RT1 television or whatever channel it is in the next hour to get Mass live from wherever it is this morning around the country. You can access Mass services on local radio stations throughout the country. Is that not good enough, Declan?
No, it's not. I don't know if you had an Easter egg on Easter Sunday or if you had a virtual Easter egg on Easter Sunday, but it's not exactly the same. I mean, that's really not theologically sound in terms of the comparison, but there is a difference, especially, I can't speak for other denominations. I only know my own particular faith I don't know it as well as perhaps I should, but I know it well enough to know that there is a difference between attending a mass that is, in a church, in a place of public worship, where you are receiving communion, where you're in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and not. And while certainly, and the bishops have granted, the bishops of Ireland have granted an exception, and of course, being able to attend online, listen to a radio, etc., is good. And for some people is the only thing that they can do, and understandably so. For those of us that are able to attend a COVID-mitigated mass in a church, or it could be in a field, then that is best, that is preferable to doing it on something that's, over distance and electronic. So it's not exactly the same.
Okay, as we say, we're in the midst of this case. It has been adjourned until the 27th of April. Where are we in relation to this? What is the situation?
So the state, a question was put by our side to the state. It was just in a procedural hearing a couple of weeks ago, and the state were given some time by the judge to be able to respond to say whether or not there was a legal prohibition, whether or not it's a criminal offence to attend a public mass or to hold a public mass. And the state responded very quickly, actually, and we appreciate that, and again confirmed in the procedural hearing that was just held this week that indeed it is an offence. It is a criminal offence to leave your place of residence to attend a public mass, or for a priest to leave their place of residence to hold the public mass. It is an offence, and a penal offence. And so that was clarified, which is very useful. We were given time to make an adjustment to our affidavits, which we have now made. And one of the things that we wanted to do was introduce some issues around Article 9 of the ECHR, which was very important in the Scottish court's decision a couple of weeks ago, which ruled the mass ban there as illegal and overturned it. So we wanted to take some of the sort of the precedents, if you like, from that case and apply them to this one.
Okay, so the case resumes on the 27th of April, but isn't it the case from what we're hearing from Leo Varadkar yesterday, it's very possible, is it not, that the ban will be lifted in some part in early May?
We hope so. Look, the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't particularly care how it happens, as long as it happens. And from a precedent case law and precedent standpoint, that will not stop us from pressing ahead with our case, because there's sort of important legal principles here that have been established in practice and that need to be challenged. And but that said, if the ban is lifted, as long as people that are attending, and when we do go back, we need to be responsible. We need to socially distance. We need to do everything that we can to mitigate the risk of spread. But people do act responsibly, and we're not children, and the churches have trained stewards that know how to manage this. So as long as we do it carefully and responsibly, the sooner we can get back, the better.